in verse 15. Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes. Growing up, one Bible teacher we had always said, there's one interpretation of Scripture, but many applications. Now, Bobby spoke on 2 Peter 1 and gave us the primary interpretation. The interpretation is, who wrote it? To whom was it written? What was the context in which it was written? What was he saying? To whom? And then the application of that Scripture to their lives. But there's a lot of Old Testament Scriptures that we take verses that aren't the primary interpretation of the passage. And we should always look at what, try to find what's the primary interpretation first. Because you'll never be able to know how to apply it unless you know how the primary interpretation that was given. But there's always the danger for interpretation of trying to read something that was written for Israel and say, now, directly we apply that to the church. In Israel, they had a family of priests, and some groups have decided to make their own family of priests and ordain them as the priests who can go before God, taking the Old Testament out of its context. It was written for Israel. The blessings in the Old Testament written for Israel are for Israel. Some groups have taken the blessings that God had given to Israel and say, no, that's for the church. That's for us. They leave the curses as literal for them, but take the blessings as literal for us. There's something wrong with that type of interpretation. The seminary is called the theory of interpretation, hermeneutics, from the word that means interpretation. But it's important for us to, first of all, see who it was written for, and then why it was written for them, and then be able to take and apply it to ourselves. But when we apply it to ourselves, we always have to have a New Testament scripture that is speaking about the church and how that message then becomes applied to our own lives. Not building a whole new theory, a whole new teaching on some passage from the Old Testament that was written to Israel. Song of Solomon, the verse I read, I'm going to make application. I'm not going to give interpretation. What primarily Solomon wrote it for. But we can go in there and say, well, all these scriptures are written for our learning. They're for our understanding. And we can take a verse like this, and he says, you have dove's eyes. You have eyes of dove. And we can make application to that. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you have dove's eyes? Do you have dove's eyes? And you start saying, well, what are dove's eyes? What do we know about doves from other scriptures? Well, we remember the story of the ark and how the raven went out, didn't come back. The dove went out, came back. And then went out the second time, didn't come back. The dove of purity. The dove of peace. The dove as being a picture of the Holy Spirit. Remember in the Old Testament, again with the ark, the dove could not find a place to light upon because of the corruption and destruction that was all around. We come to the New Testament, and there's John the Baptist. There's Jesus going and being baptized. What does the scripture say? The Holy Spirit came down like a dove and lighted upon him. Could not find a place to rest after the flood, but could find a place to rest in the person of the Lord Jesus. Now, what else does the Spirit teach us in the New Testament? Well, we immediately think of the fruit of the Spirit. Can we apply that to the dove's eyes? When people see you, do they think of the characteristics of Christ as shown in the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Unbeliever. I'm talking about unbelievers that know you. Do they think a person is a loving person? Something different there. Joy. Sometimes people think that the more godly you become, the more austere you become. And you're always with a frown, looking for something that somebody says or does that isn't right. Well, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. Do they see a change? Do they see the joy of the Lord in your life? How are you? They often ask us. How do you respond? One brother said, I started saying, when somebody asks me, how am I? I say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. That's a good response because we can think of a lot of things that we're thankful for. God has given us so. Even the worst person in America should be thankful for so much of the blessings that we receive. Love, joy, peace. Do they see you at peace when trouble comes? When they would get all anxious and upset and start speaking in a wrong way or whatever? Do they see, well, here's somebody who trusts a God who loves them? A father who doesn't allow anything to happen to his children except it first goes through him. And he has purposes for it. And he goes through all the other characteristics of Christ. That's what the fruit of the Spirit was. The characteristics of Christ. And he says, that's dove's eyes. When people see you, they see dove's eyes. In the early church in Acts, when the apostles first started preaching and the Jews started threatening them, and we're going to throw them in jail, it says there's a little phrase there that says, they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. They noticed. They were acting like the Lord acted. That reminded them of the way Jesus acted. To the people that we know, are they reminded of the Lord when they see our actions? You remember it says that they were first called Christians in Antioch. The believers had a testimony that they talked about Christ. You know, Christ is a Greek word for Mashiach, for the Hebrew. They probably didn't connect Christian with Messiah. The Jews wouldn't call them Christians. In fact, they don't call Christians in Hebrew. They call them Notzri, ones followers of the Nazarite. Because they don't want to call it after Messiah, because they don't believe he is the Messiah. But our lives should be such that we cause people to think of Messiah, of the Lord Jesus himself, and the fruit of the Spirit seen through our eyes. You say, well, how does this work, the fruit of the Spirit? Well, can we go to John 15? the vine. Abiding in the vine. He that abides in the vine will bring forth fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. That's the key to allowing the Holy Spirit to shine out of our lives, is to abide in Him. Without Him, you can do nothing. But through Him, we can allow the character of Christ to work in us. Now, I've been reading, in a couple of these thoughts are just what I've been reading recently about the dove's eyes. I decided to Google dove's eyes in this verse, and the AI came up with, they said, you know, dove's eyes are binocular. That means, I take it to mean that they look with both eyes and focus both eyes to see something. And it kind of made me think, you know, the Lord talks about your whole body. If your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is not single, it's full of darkness. I think it's, our eyes are binocular. We look, we focus. You know, as we get older, sometimes our muscles aren't as strong in our eyes. By the end of the day, they're not really focusing that clearly. And you start seeing a little bit double. It's not light. It's not bright. But focused on one thing, dove's eyes, the fruit of the Spirit, abiding with the Lord, nearer to Him, closer to Him to walk. And as we abide in Him, as we're connected to the branch, to the tree, the vine, we will naturally produce fruit. If we're not connected, we won't. And that's what the Lord calls on us to do, is to bear fruit for Him, to cause people to think about Him. Now, I was reading. Now, you can go in the life of the Lord Jesus and how the Holy Spirit led Him. He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's quoting Isaiah 61, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." There was nobody that perfectly walked in the Spirit like Him. And He did. And how God used Him, as speaking as a man, of course, He was God as well. But dependent upon God, communion with Him regularly, as we fellowship with the Lord, we will naturally become like Him. As we go, behold the beauty of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, our face will shine. And we might not even notice it, but people will notice the difference. Now, I was reading in 2 Kings, chapter 7, and verse 9, and here's a group of lepers outside of the city of Samaria, and the city happens to be surrounded by the Syrians, the Aramaeans. And they were starving inside the city. The lepers, of course, were separated from them because they're defiled. They didn't want them to affect the people in the city. And they start talking with each other. What shall we do? If we go into the city, the famine is there. If we stay here, we'll die. Let's go to the camp of the Syrians. What can they do to us? Except kill us, you know. We're going to die anyway. So let's go. And they go to the camp, and they didn't realize that God was working to make those in the camp to hear noise. And they all fled because they thought the Israelites had hired an army to attack them. And so when these lepers come in, one tent, lock in, everything's there. Food's there. Money's there. Let's go to the next tent. Same thing. They start gathering everything up, eating as much as they want, gathering the silver and the gold. And they started talking to themselves. And they said, you know what? We do not well. This is not right. Here we are. We've got plenty of food to eat. There's no enemy around. Everybody in the city's starving. They don't know what's happened. Let's tell them. Let's go and tell them. And so they go and share the good news of what the Lord had done. And you know, this is, again, application. To have dove's eyes, the Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us, leading us to tell the people that He brings before us, they're starving. They're spiritually blind. And the Lord has made us rich. The Lord has given us the bread of life. The Lord has opened our eyes and we see. And we have to say to ourselves, this is not right. It's not right for me not to tell them about the riches of what we've done. I think I've shared this before. A friend of mine, when I was at school, prayed. He said, Lord, don't let me be like someone who's found a warehouse full of food in a starving city and say, if the subject comes up, I'll tell him about it. Yeah. It's not well. It's not good for us. This is not right. It's a day of good news. It's a gospel day. And we have it. And the Lord says, it's not right for us to keep it to ourselves. He knows who's starving. He knows who's blind. He brings those people in our path. May we have eyes to see, ears to hear, to know that, hey, the Lord is in this. Share that good news with them. Because the world is starving more and more. There's a phrase in Genesis 31:42, another one I just happened to think about. And again, it's an application. 31:42. Sure, I got the right chapter. Genesis 31:42. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. So this is Jacob talking to Laban. But the phrase that stuck out to me was the fear of Isaac. What's the fear of Isaac? Was Jacob afraid of Isaac? No, that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about the reverence and respect that he saw in his father Isaac towards the Lord. The one he feared, he respected, he reverenced. Now you remember, where did Isaac learn that? Remember when Abraham offered up Isaac, Genesis 22. And they carry the wood and they go up to the mountain and prepare everything for the sacrifice. But something didn't seem right to Isaac. And Isaac says, Abba, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the lamb? Now why did he say that? Because that was not the first time he saw Abraham offering up sacrifices to God. That was a very much a part of his family life. That was typical. Call it the family altar or whatever you want to call it. But Jacob saw in his own father, Isaac, that same respect and reverence for God. And here's a question for all of us, our families, our children. What do they see What do our children see in our homes? Do they see that respect and reverence that we give the Lord? That family altar, the time to read His Word, to pray together as a family, to teach our children to have that same love for the Lord. Because when they grow up, you know, when they're born, you do everything for them. And as they grow up, slower and slower, but they want to do more and more things themselves. There comes a point at which they're adults. They do all things themselves. But in the meantime, we as parents are to guide them. What are we guiding them? We are the primary guides. We form the clay of our children, instilling in them things that will never leave them when they grow older. Some parents say, well, you know, I'm going to let my child decide for themselves when they grow up. You mean you're going to let them be influenced by all the wrong things of the world, and you're not going to influence them by the right things of the Lord? And your primary responsibility is to mold them, teach them in the way they should go, so that when they're older, doesn't say they'll depart and come back. It says they won't depart. You have instilled in them habits, traits of your family, hopefully traits found in this book, in God's Word. And when they're older, they go on with it. They go on with the Lord. We have a big responsibility, a great blessing God gives children into our hands. But now, it's not just being the parent, but being the parent. The responsibility to lead and guide them and teach them as they're growing. Another just verse that came into my mind recently. And this other verse, Galatians 1:16. To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the Gentiles. To reveal His Son in me. Why has God saved us? To reveal His Son in us. Otherwise, you know, the Lord would take us, we're saved, the Lord would take us home. The reason the Lord leaves us, we see people that are up in years, very up in years, I'm up in years already, but up in, really up in years. The Lord has a purpose for them. To reveal His Son in them. To other people that He brings before them. Are we reflecting correctly? Are we revealing His Son in us? In our ways? Again, it goes back to the dove's eyes. Do you have dove's eyes? The Spirit of God leading your life. The fruit of the Spirit being displayed by your life. So that people will come and ask you the reason of the hope that is in you. Do they ever come up and ask you something different about you? I see a change there. You don't act like other people act in the same circumstances. Does it mean that once we're believers, everything goes great? We never have a problem in the world. No. God allows us to have the same kind of problems that the world has. Because they're watching. They're watching how we react, how we respond, how we back up what we preach. And they want to see if there's a difference there. They see the pretend, the counterfeit gods out there, and they realize they're counterfeit. but they haven't found the real living God. And God wants us to, He wants to reveal the true living God in us to all the people that we come in contact with. And to have eyes to see, like Elijah told his servant, they're afraid of the Syrians that go around his house to get him. And the servant comes to, I think it was Elijah, I always get Elijah and Elisha mixed up. But he says, Lord, open their eyes. And he saw all the angels, God, surrounding, far more than the enemy. The enemy is flesh and blood, but our battle is spiritual. It's in spiritual warfare. And even though the Satan and the demons use people, keep in mind it's the enemy behind them. And God wants to use us through His Spirit to have dove's eyes, to have the fruit of the Spirit, so that when they look at us, they see dove's eyes. As Song of Solomon, as Solomon's could say, oh, you have dove's eyes. It's the beauty of Christ seen in a believer. The dove's eyes. Your eyes are doves. These are just random thoughts. A number of different scriptures that tie together somewhat. Applications. I don't argue with applications. As long as we have applications that back from other scripture. Don't build new interpretations on applications. But all these things are for our learning and for our application, so that we can go on it with the Lord as He would tell us. So we just close in prayer. Lord, we pray that we would have dove's eyes for You. That we would have the fruit of the Spirit. Your character was seen in You, Lord, all the way You lived so perfectly. Help us to have it too. And help us to share the good news to those that are starving, to reveal Your Son in us. We just pray these things in Your name. Amen.